It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 358, recorded on Monday, the 8th of December, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by co-host Michelle Frechette. I'm also joined by Devinder Sinkainth and by Mark Benzekane. Thank you to Mark and Devinder for stepping in at the 11th hour. It is a WordPress podcast, and so what do we talk about? Well, this week, a lot about WordPress. Apart from talking about the weather at the beginning, we then get stuck into oodles of content about WordPress 6.9. This is the latest version of WordPress, which has dropped recently. And there's bags to talk about. Not only are there loads of articles out there on the web instructing you of all the different bits and pieces that have been included in this update, but there was lots of commentary around the state of the word address given by Matt Mullenweg recently as well. After that, we get into some other different bits and pieces, some community news. We talk about Black Friday deals. There's some brand new plugins out there in the WordPress space, which I think you might like to look at. And obviously, we get into a conversation about AI. It's the year 2025, so we always do. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds.
Every week I say I'm going to change that music, and every week I completely fail to do it. And as soon
I just wrote the lyrics though.
Oh, have you?
WordPress talking about WordPress. Anyway.
That could be next time. Okay, I'm glad of that. No, it needs to change, and I always forget to do it. It's like bottom of the laundry list of things to do. Here next we are, episode coming. 358 of This Week in WordPress. That's one more than last week and one less than next week. There we go. We're going to be having a little bit of a break over the
Christmas period. That is how numbers work.
I know. Yeah, add one, take away one. We're going to be having a little break. So we got a couple more episodes, I think, before the Christmas break, something like that. And quite a lot's happened this week. So usually this podcast kind of runs a load of topics. We go through lots of different things. I've put quite a few things on the show notes, just in case we don't have enough to say about WordPress 6.9. But I think it's quite likely that we'll dwell on WordPress 6.9 quite a lot. I'll first of all introduce the co-host for today. That is Michelle Frechette over there. How are you doing, Michelle?
I am quite well, thank you.
Good.
Even though it's only 7 degrees Fahrenheit here today.
Yes. And I have to say a great big thanks
to Michelle. Which is negative numbers for y'all.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like a bad amount of degrees. Michelle isn't supposed to be here. I say that in the nicest possible way. And that is because we had an alternative arrangement of guests, and two of them today have had to cancel. So two of these guests, I'm incredibly grateful for sort of stepping in at the last minute. And Michelle was one of them. Jess Frick was going to be joining us, but she's unable to at the last minute. So Michelle is joining us instead. And I'm really grateful for you stepping in at the last minute. I'll just go through Michelle's bio. Favorite. She is the Executive Director of Post Status. And in addition to her work there, she is also the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech and WP Speakers, creator of WP Career Pages, also involved in Sponsor Me WP, co-founder of Speed Network Online. She writes, so she's an author, an influencer, and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and wider tech events. She lives near Rochester, New York, and she likes to take photographs of nature. If you want to go to the one website to find out more, it's meetmichelle.online. And thank you once more for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
The other person who stepped in at the last minute is Devinder Sinkainth. Thank you, Devinder. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Devinder is Tim West. I don't even know who that is. Who is that? Tim Nash. Apologies, Tim. Tim Nash was supposed to be joining us, but he's not feeling quite right. He's under the weather. And again, you know, Devinda sort of stepped in at the 11th hour, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. And here's Tim. Oh, dear, I'm really struggling with names today. Here's Devinda's bio. A digital creative who loves to create online spaces powered by WordPress. He's been in the ecosystem for more than 18 years, and he's focusing on creating websites, digital product courses, coaching, and consulting. He is the founder of the WPWeekly.com, which is a quick, simple newsletter for WordPress users. There's a few newsletters that I subscribe to in the WordPress space to crib content for this show, and the WP Weekly is one of those. I think that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, amazing compliment.
Yeah, well, it comes out on a Monday just before this show comes out, so it's kind of ideally
well,
timed.
I live in India. If I was living in UK, then it would have been a problem because
it's kind of the perfect way to start my week. I just sort of read it, you know, first thing in the morning with my mug of coffee, out it comes, and I'm off to the races. And so, yeah, I appreciate all that you do. I know that stuff like that, you know, it's like a labor of love a bit, but also I guess it's helping your business out and things, but it's a really credible. You should go and check it out. Like we said, the URL is the, so you have to put the in. The WPWeekly.com, no hyphens or anything weird like that. The WPWeekly.com. Go check it out. Subscribe. And that over there, the person coughing, that's Mark. That's Mark Benzocaine. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm peachy. How are you?
Yeah, good. Mark is not living in a box. This is just how he appears every time he's on the show. There's something weird.
I spent a good 35 seconds last week trying to get rid of that box, and it wasn't working. I looked at AI. I have like done all the research, and it says, "Oh yeah, this will work."
Nah, embrace work. The box. So, go with the box.
I think what it boils down to is I just should buy a new camera.
Yeah, the aspect ratio is wrong. Mark is the only guest who I was predicting when I woke up this morning. So thank you, Mark, for joining us.
Ironically, I'm on the list of backups in case you need a backup. So I could do both right now.
Yeah, okay. So that would be hysterical. If you wear two different hats, you could be the backup guest one minute, swap it out for the other one. So let's read Mark's bio. Mark Benzocaine has been around the WordPress world long enough to remember when everybody thought a custom post type was wizardry. I still think it is. He's a marketing lead and partnership manager at MainWP, where he wrangles newsletters, partnerships, and the occasional existential crisis about plugin changelogs. Before that, he ran WordCamps, helped grow ServerPress tenfold, and even survived government tech support, proving that he can debug both websites and bureaucracies. That's no mean feat. These days, if he's not connected to the MainWP community, you'll find him riding his e-bike to work, which he insists is both eco-friendly and a perfectly valid excuse for being late to Zoom calls. Did you ride it this morning?
I did not. It was funny because last night Gina said to me, "Are you riding your bike in tomorrow?" I said, "Are you crazy?"
Yeah, it's like crazy temperature. And what time is it where you live? It's like 5:30 in the morning.
At the moment, it's 6:09 a.m. So I'm normally up around 4 or 4:30, but I'm not awake at 4 or 4:30. So, you know.
Okay, staggering around
Are you drinking coffee like I'm drinking coffee?
I've already had coffee. This is just plain vodka. I mean, water. So.
Love it. Okay, and that is the nature of this podcast. It's all about being a bit silly, having a good time, and reading the comments that drop in. If you do feel like adding some comments, we would love that. Honestly, it really keeps this whole show going. It's most commendable, anybody that does. I'll just give you the skinny on how that works. The best place to go if you want to comment on this is probably here. If you're confused, because this is going out, it goes out to a variety of different platforms. I think LinkedIn has failed. I got a little warning in the dialogue that said LinkedIn has failed. At this point, there's nothing I can do to amend that. So it's like if you're on LinkedIn, you're not even going to hear this, but there you go, it failed. But it usually goes out on LinkedIn and Facebook and X and places like that. So if you're watching this, if you comment in any place apart from YouTube, we don't get them, because the platforms increasingly lock that stuff down. So the comments will just be stuck in that platform and we won't see them. So if you head here, wpbuilds.com/live, we've embedded the YouTube comments and we will get those. So we can put those on the screen and what have you. Or you could just go to the WP Builds YouTube channel. But WPBuilds.com/live. If you're logged into Google, that's great. We'll get the comment. However, if you don't have a Google account or mistrust Google for some reason, there's a little button inside the video top right. It says live chat. If you click on that, you don't need to be logged into anything. You can just comment and we'll get that as well. Okay, so that's probably the best way to do that. There's a couple of people that have done that already. That's really nice. Thank you very much. James Lau says hello and good morning. Very nice to have you with us. That's really nice. Hello, says Anne. Anne Bovlet, thank you very much for joining us. Hello again, says Gvenk. I'm sorry, is all I can say. I don't know how to phonetically pronounce your name. If you want to write it phonetically for me.
Wasn't it Gerald or Gerard?
Okay, it probably was, but I have the memory of a cushion. So, you know.
You can remind us.
Yeah, thank you. Hello, Gerard. Yeah, let us know your name. And apologies
I think
for
it was Gerard.
Getting it wrong. And this is Mbonet. I do know Marcus, so that's all right. He's running out of Mondays in 2025. So are we, but happy for this one. And that he can see us all. That's really nice. We've got Jonathan Overall, WP Plugins A to Z. Good morning from a wet and dreary Vancouver Island. Oh, no.
Where it is also 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Here's a blast from the past. We used to do the weather sort of stuff on this show every time. That kind of died the death a little bit. But Michelle's telling us, here we go. It's 7 degrees Fahrenheit, minus what? What? It's that? Minus 14 centigrade. God, that's brutal, yes. Michelle. Don't go out. Stay where you are.
I didn't trust my brain, so I did the calculation online to figure out what the conversion was.
That's horrible.
I've already been out and come back today, so I might just...
Man alive. God, in the UK, because we have like fairly temperate weather, it never gets hot and it never gets really, really, really cold. If we get that kind of a cold spell, which might happen like once every 3 or 4 years, everything collapses. Everything just shuts down because nothing's built with that kind of tolerance in mind.
When you live in the Great Lakes region, like I do, we can get upwards of 100 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer and below 0 Fahrenheit in the winter. So it's been as cold here as minus 20, which is probably like minus 40 where you are.
Yeah.
So we get the very big rain. People used to say to me, you can't complain about the winter if you also complain about the summer.
No, that's
And I
true.
Say, I have a body that could complain about any extreme. I don't like lava or dry ice.
Yeah, okay. I think we can all agree on that.
That it's a dry cold.
It doesn't matter. It's just cold. It doesn't matter whether it's dry or not.
It is true because your hands crack. It's just terrible. Yeah.
I watched a video of somebody in your neck of the woods who took like a mug of coffee and took it outside and then started at the ground and poured it out whilst lifting the coffee mug up. It just made this arc of coffee, which froze in.
Yes.
That's like
it crystallizes almost immediately. Yeah,
that's like Hoth out of Star Wars. That's not happening on Earth. That's happening on some other planet. That's amazing. Anyway,
I bought the bubbles, like the kids blow bubbles. Yeah. I bought bubbles to photograph when they freeze because bubbles will freeze outside.
Do they go like ping pong balls in midair? Do they?
They crystallize and then it's really cool.
Anyway, here we go. We're not supposed to be talking about the weather.
Gerard. I remember.
It is Gerard. Look, it is Gerard. Hello, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Gvenk. your name is actually Gerard. I'm so sorry.
I get extra points this week.
Yeah, you do. You get extra points. There you go. Look, Anne loves Davinder's newsletter as well. Davinder's WP Weekly is one of my favorites too, says Anne. That's really nice.
Thank you, Anne.
Davinder, go on.
Yes, I also do this now.
Yeah, that's nice. Here we go. My full name is Gerard Van Enk, and Gvenk is my default. Okay, got it. That makes sense. That's
very good.
It's
good to see you back again, Gerard.
Yeah, thank you. Please keep coming each Monday. We love it. And make loads of comments. Send all of your friends and relations here.
Tell us,
what are we up to?
Weather.
No, we're not doing more weather. In theory, we're supposed to talk about WordPress, so we will get onto that. Just a few bits of self-promotional stuff, if that's okay. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. Put your email into that little box, and we'll send you two emails a week, one when we parcel this up as a podcast on a Tuesday, and then we'll send you one on a Thursday. Our Thursday podcast, Our Thursday podcast is on episode number 448. And the most recent one was a chat with Dave Gray, who's often on this show. So you can go and check that out. He's got this really curious marketing initiative for one of his most recent plugins. He's got this really interesting idea of instead of selling it to end users, he's going to sell it directly to hosts. And so that they can implement it on behalf of their customers, which I thought was a really interesting idea. We still have a Black Friday page, despite the fact that Black Friday itself has gone. Increasingly, Black Friday deals don't just stop at the end of Black Friday. I remember when I was a kid, Black Friday wasn't even a thing. And now it just goes on and on and on. And loads of the deals are still going. So if you go to wpbuilds.com/black, and you sort of scroll down, every deal that's on the page is still alive. They sort of go off the page as they become inactive. So, you know, if you sort of search and filter for things, there's still quite a lot. I don't know, maybe there's 100 or something still there. So go and have a poke around if that's your thing. And one last bit of self-promotion is I had a chat with the lovely Topher DeRozier on the WP Tavern podcast this week. And we talked about how he, over many years in the WordPress space, has been sort of like laying the groundwork for the bits and pieces that he's now doing. And by that, I mean, he's been building things in the open with no expectation of anything in return. And then curiously, something will come his way that he didn't anticipate. And so it's a real community story about sort of doing things with no expectation of having your pockets lined or anything like that. So there we go. 196. Four episodes to number 200. What should I do on episode 200 that's a bit different? You got any ideas? Would you do anything at all?
Travel to Canada? Let's interview you.
Hang on. Let's go with Devinder first. Go on, Devinder. What did you say?
Devinder.
Travel to Canada minus 20 degrees Celsius is very free.
I am joined on the podcast.
And Michelle will give you tips on how to deal with it.
Yeah, okay. That's not what we're going to do. It's a nice idea. What were you going to say, Mark?
I was going to say, let someone interview you.
Oh, no, nobody wants to hear that.
Flip the script.
No.
I'll interview you on your podcast.
No. Nobody wants to hear that.
We'll talk later.
Bad idea. Okay, moving on. That didn't go how I expected.
Me neither. I thought you'd embrace it. So, you know.
anyway, there it is. 196. Go check it out. Right. During the notes stage of the show, when we set the show up, I issue some show notes and I offer the guests an opportunity to mention something that they wish to mention. And it's awards this time around. The first one is an award to one of our panelists. And then the next one is Devinder's WP Awards page. Let's have a look at that in a minute. First of all, we mentioned this a few weeks ago when you were on the show. Michelle was up for an award.
I think it was last week.
Didn't know that you were going to win it and you only went and won it. Well done.
You know that phrase, always the bridesmaid, never the bride?
Yeah.
Well, up to this point, I've always been nominated, but never won. And I can't say that anymore. So very exciting. I looked over the roster of the women who are also nominated in this. And I thought, there's no chance that I'll be winning this award at all. They're so accomplished. But I still was ready to take a screenshot just in case I came in bronze or something. Imagine the tears that streamed down my face when I saw my face.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so was this like an online vote kind of thing? Is this something that people voted for?
That was one component of it, but then it was also juried by about 30 people.
Nice.
So I was just blown away. Thank you.
Yeah.
And one of the nicest things is it wasn't WordPress. So it's like people outside of WordPress know who I am, which made me really happy also.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, massive congratulations. What I'll do is I will link in the show notes when you receive the sort of newsletter, the summary of all of these different bits and pieces, I'll put that in the community section and you can go and check it out. But Michelle is the Women Tech Global Award winner for the year 2025. Very, very cool. So obviously that was like a wider awards thing. I'm guessing there was more than the category that you won. And we have a few of those in the WordPress space. And Devinder runs one of them. When did you sort of start this whole process this year? When did you start the onboarding of the different people that were going to be featured in it and the different companies and plugins and things?
Well, it's...
You open the nominations in September, right?
Yeah, I usually keep nomination for two 2 months for voting, and then bam, results. And I was working like 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. yesterday to finish calculation of, you know, it's a lot of work. But yeah, it's been like, this is like fifth year running. So I've learned a lot of things while running this, and especially how to combat spam voting.
Oh, so,
you know,
yeah.
People post things. So I'm, you know, adding one layer after another every year. But yeah, spammers are very smart these days. So
so it's a form, it's an online form. And so how, like, obviously without revealing anything, what is the kind of ratio of spam to regular voting? Is it like one for one? Like is half of the voting spam, or like, do you think it's less than that or what?
Like this year, it was like almost 1,500 or so votes that I did not count, or they were like thrown out of the, like it's showing 5,975 as total votes, but total votes were exceeding 7,000.
Yeah.
But you have to take them out. So first year I started, I didn't have any, you know, clue whether anyone would vote. Like I'm talking about 5 years back. So it was party for everyone, right? So
yeah.
The next year I realized, you know, there has to be some checks and balances. So next year it was like, not just you have to have a unique email address, your IP address will also be checked. And if you're again voting with different email address, but from same IP address, you won't be allowed to vote. So this year I actually ran the whole email, submitted emails via a spam filter, and, you know, took out all the votes that were there. And there were quite a few related to certain brands. I would not name them, but obviously it's not their problem. Maybe there is a problem, but yeah, slowly, you know, step by step, I'm trying to figure out how to make it bulletproof. You know, security is never 100%. So
yeah,
learning step by step.
Honestly, I can only say I tried really hard. Those 1,500 votes that I put in, damn, is all I could say. It never worked.
And you still placed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, that's good. And so any top line items? Obviously, you know, the voting's... Oh, so there was this whole phase of like onboarding who you could vote for. And then that then moves on to the step where everybody gets a chance to vote, which is what we've just been talking about, where the spam can potentially creep in. And then yesterday you figured out what the final results were and what have you. And these are the top... Well, I guess we're looking at five things there. What are these that we can see there? These are the top one, two, three, ones. Four,
you know, see, I still made a mistake. The rank match should be five, and it's just saying four now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see that too.
You weren't tired, were you, Devinder?
Don't check that.
Oh, yes. I still fixed a few mistakes. Some people actually DM me today in the morning, like, oh, this link is not working. That link is not working.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I'll do that. I'll fix this. But so this is like top five among the total votes to a specific brand or product. And then if you scroll down, there are top three for every category. Like when I first started running, I used to write, you know, exact number of votes for every nominee. But then a few people reached out to me and said that we love to participate, but we feel really embarrassed or bad when you put 0, 1 against our, you know, number of vote. So
okay.
I switched the whole thing. I said I will only put first six, you know, voted, you know, nominees under every category. I guess that gives a little better view, at least because participation is more important than winning. Obviously, winning is the thing, but again, so a lot of people submitted just to be participant. And, you know, the funny thing, the feedback I get from people who are subscribed to the newsletter, obviously voting is one thing, but they think they say that, oh, I discovered a new tool or a service in this category.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it existed, right?
Yeah,
so
that's kind of fun. Yeah, I hadn't
so
really
that's like
about
indirect
that.
Marketing, I guess. Yeah.
Do you exclude anybody at the point where the nominations for the things to be voted on drop in? Do you ever get the impression that somebody is using this as a marketing channel, or is that all fine?
The only thing I exclude is if some service or product is not related to WordPress.
Okay.
Like a lot of SaaS tools get submitted, even for Black Friday deeds. I never add them because, again, if you're sticking with WordPress, you stick with WordPress.
Yeah. I get the same thing, Devinder. So I put that Black Friday deal page together and I get loads. Like the weirdest one this year was a company that was selling socks, just socks. And I don't even know why they, like, why fill out the form?
Yeah.
Why even fill out the form? I know it's probably a robot, right? But nevertheless.
I had one at PostStatus for cruise, like get a discount cruise. And I was like, I don't see the WordPress part of this. So sorry, but no.
I had several for mobile phone companies.
Right.
There was a lot of mobile phones. Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
Adding to the weirdness, I got it for toys as well. Toys.
Not, okay.
Yeah.
Not meant in the for hope. Kids. in the hope that people will actually include it. So these are the things that the top ones that we're looking at here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4, aka 5.
Yeah.
These are the ones, I guess, that received the overall most votes. So in first place, the thing that got more votes than any other thing was ACF Pro. In second place was WooCommerce. Huh, fascinating. The third place was the WordPress community, the admin bar. The fourth was Elementor. And then, that is the fourth. And then the fifth. The second fourth was RankMath SEO. And then if you want more intel on all of the other bits and pieces, then you have to scroll down, and it's done by category. So, for example, at the minute, we're looking at gold, silver, bronze for WordPress themes, and it goes Astra, Hello, the Elementor's theme, Cadence, and then Page Builders, and then Block Builders. That's things for Gutenberg form plugins and so on. And the list goes on and on. So I would recommend that you go and check it out, scroll around. And I think at this point, the most interesting thing, if you haven't cast a vote, would be exactly what Devinder said, would just be to go and poke around and see what other curious new things you can find. And do all of these things here. So, for example, if I hover over, I don't know, one of these here, will that link out to the item in question, their homepage?
Okay, yep.
Great. You're going to run it again?
You should scroll down to the agency tools and see who took silver.
Oh, okay. Let me just
barely.
Agency. Let's go for agency.
Although now I demand a recount, I think you should go and look at all those bots.
But yeah, that's right.
It's demand a recount.
Demand a recount
means you won't be on the list next year.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, so that nomination got lost.
I take it back.
Yeah, take it back. So yeah, look, there it is in second place, main WP, or in silver place, I guess we should say.
Yeah,
main
WP. Silver. Yeah.
It's not its own URL, so it's at the WP Weekly website. So it's wpweekly.com/awards/2025. You're going to run it in 2026, do you think?
Absolutely. And the URL is also thewpawards.com. So,
oh, is it? Clever, okay. Apologies.
Clever redirection. Yes.
Ah, lovely. Okay. So it does, in fact,
this
work.
This is amazing. You know, I not just running the words, the interaction that you have in the background with people, that is the most useful part of running this whole thing. Obviously, they are critical. This is like sham voting and all that. Let me tell you, in which country do we have fair voting? None, right?
So yeah, that's true.
You expect to be fair voting in WordPress?
The curious thing is, I can predict, I think, what next year's URL will be. It will be thewpweekly.com/awards/2026. And the reason I say that is because I have a bit of a segue, which I wasn't expecting to have. And let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. So this is a little segue. I've just dropped this in. I wasn't expecting to do this, but I just saw that Ray had posted this. And the reason there's a connection there is because we mentioned it last week. In the UK, a misconfigured WordPress site led to this whole political brouhaha. I'll just very quickly summarize. We have this thing called the OBR, the Office for Budget. I've forgotten actually what it stands for. I've actually forgotten the acronym. That's really, Office for Budget Responsibility. There we go. And it is responsible for like this biannual thing where they drop all the information about like tax and pensions and rules around money. And it's a big deal. Lots of people stop what they're doing and pay attention because it really matters. Unfortunately, the document outlining all of that, which is supposed to be like really top secret, it leaked like 3 hours before the actual announcement. And it turns out it was a WordPress website where somebody had used a plugin and misconfigured it so that you could guess the URL. And it was what I've just done with Devinder's website. I changed the URL to 2026, and I'm anticipating that it'll be there next year. Well, that's exactly what somebody did. They took what was available in March, took the word March out of the URL, replaced it with November, hit return, and to their surprise, they got the information. Anyway, like this is WordPress's like not the best hour, and it's nothing to do with WordPress, which is the annoying thing. It's now led to the head of that organization in the UK resigning, and it's led to, unfortunately, a lot of press coverage with the word WordPress in it that feels like WordPress is insecure. And I don't really know how we recover from that in the real world, because obviously, you know, the organizations like this and the repository and your newsletter, Devinda, we're right inside the baseball. But this is now in the UK normal press, and they're sort of having a bit of a go at WordPress. They're not. They're just explaining, like, you know, it's a misconfigured WordPress website, but the optics look really bad. I don't know if anybody has anything to add to that, but what a shame that that's...
I think it's the issue with the person who was managing the website, or the department who was managing, not the WordPress. Now, if you encounter a car crash, you don't blame the company who made the car, right?
Yep. Well, I guess if it's self-driving, yeah, maybe. I would agree. But you know how government works. The guy at the top, and it was a guy in this case, the guy at the top, he quit. He said, you know, the buck stops with me. You know, it happened under my watch, so it has led to a major political sort of realignment in that department. So it's kind of interesting. Anybody want to say anything about that one before I just say a few comments? No? Okay. The first one is, well done, Marcus Burnett, for spotting my Hoth comment. Nobody spotted that except you. And he says, Hoth. Fun fact, a Hoth reference on a Monday means it's going to be an amazing week. If you don't know what Hoth is, it's the really, really cold planet on Star Wars, where Luke Skywalker is on that like weird horse-like creature. And now that I've established my nerd credentials, I'm going to keep going. Here's another comment. Hello from us all in WP Bakery. Hello. Hello. Very nice to have you with us. Especially Michelle, congrats on your award. What else
have we got?
Oh, so this is the idea for episode number 200, is it? A roundup recap. Talk about how it started, how it evolved today, and other things. Thank you. These are all good ideas. Courtney, bless you. I hope it's nothing bad. She's in chiropractors. Do they do? No, I'm thinking of chiropodist. Chiropractors don't do feet, do they? Chiropractors do bones and backs and stuff like that. Well, anyway,
sometimes feet, but not exclusively.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, good luck, Courtney, with whatever it is. I hope that you're all right. And I expect it's time to put the phone down now, Courtney, and concentrate on the chiropractor.
she's still in the chat though. So
yeah, she is. She's still there. She says that URL thing can happen without any plugins. That's right. A default version of WordPress will deliver exactly that, because once it goes into uploads, then it's available publicly. It's social engineering, guessing the PDF link. Ryan McHugh. Yes, he did. Ryan McHugh had a post on it from Atlas. I can never pronounce that word. So I'll put that into the show notes as well. Tauntaun. Very good, Marcus. Okay, we need to do a whole... Can you come on my Tavern podcast, episode 200, and we'll talk about Star Wars creatures. That'll be great.
I know Ewoks, and that's where
it is. Everybody knows Ewoks, but they'd be on that. Anyway, there we go. That was the bits and pieces that our guests have brought. Let's get into the main sort of like WordPress 6.9 stuff. So boatloads here. WordPress 6.9 dropped. I expect if you're watching the show, you've probably got, you know, some kind of update mechanism. If you've got a bunch of client websites and they are not yet updated, go hit the update button. Back up before you do. Go and hit the update button, because we have a new version. It's been long in the making, a lot longer than normal, what with all the, you know, the legal things happening in the WordPress space. And so 6.9 Gene, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was an American jazz pianist, mm-hmm. Gene Harris. I wonder if we'll ever run out of jazz musicians. It'll ever be like a moment where it's, we've now got to be something else. I suspect we should go to Star Wars creatures or something like that. That would be good. It's come out, and there's absolutely loads for us to talk about. I've got many, many, many articles stacked up on my browser here, and we'll just take them one at a time. And as the bits and pieces scroll past the screen, we'll maybe get into a chat about those kind of things. So it's dropped. The first thing, don't know if this is of interest to any of you three, but the first item of mention is some things which have updated in actual core of WordPress. So new features that you can play with inside your WordPress site. We've talked about this before, but here we go. Block level collaboration. So this is the idea that if you're inside a block, like a paragraph or an image or whatever it may be, you can now click a little button and you can add a comment. Think Google Docs, where you add comments. is bound to the particular block. So you can't highlight a bit of a paragraph or anything like that, but you can comment and, you know, at mention somebody who's a WordPress user on your website, and they can get an email and reply and all that kind of stuff. I will never use this in my current setup, because on none of the WordPress websites that I use is there another individual, basically. So this won't be of any use to me, but I can see this being important. Do any of you three have any intuitions about whether this is a useful thing?
This can be really useful. Like if two or three people are running a web agency and they're using Google Docs collaboration feature, they can just install WordPress on a subdomain and start using it, and everything remains within WordPress. They don't have to log in their Google account, you know, freedom, right? Freedom and ownership of all the data within one space, because when agency people within the agency talk, it's all like private things, right? You don't need to share that with a client or end result.
Nice. Yeah, indeed. You've kind of summed it up perfectly there. You know, if you've got an intranet, basically, if you were to use it like that, like a Google Docs kind of thing, it would work really well. It is at the minute part of a wider project, which is the third phase of the Gutenberg project, if you like. And this is the idea of collaboration. We'll return to this a bit later. But anyway, that was one feature, very useful. The next one, again, a feature that just for historic reasons I don't really use inside of WordPress, is the command palette. So if you're looking at the screen, you can see a screenshot, you invoke it, a little panel comes up in the middle of your screen, and it's like a universal search bar. And it used to be available in some places on your WordPress website, and now it's basically available everywhere, WP admin, front end, back end, the lot. And obviously, you know, as WordPress matures, you'll be able to do more or less everything inside of there. There's a bunch of commercial products which do this and do it like do the full Monty. This is sort of building up to that. Again, opening it up to the panel, do you think you'll actually use anything like this or see utility in it?
I like it as long as it doesn't slow things down in the back end.
Yeah.
You know, but I actually do like it. I would use that if it was quick and responsive.
Do you use stuff like that on your Mac or whatever it is that you've got? Do you use Spotlight and things?
I do a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
As much as possible, any way that I can do a shortcut and type in something and pull it up, I prefer keyboard anything. So
Do you?
Yeah.
You see, I've never really taught much. I'm just trying to think if there's many things that I'm keyboard first on. And I think the answer is no. I've sort of got into a habit in more or less everything that I use of clicking around the interface to get there. Yeah. And in a modern WordPress website with the old admin UI and the new admin UI kind of overlapping, I think you're probably onto the right thing.
I spend more time complaining about the fact that I have to take my hand off the keyboard in order to press the mouse than it would take to actually press the mouse button.
Okay.
So, right.
So you invoke this, start typing, and whatever you want will come up.
Right.
So like start typing the word add, and add post, add whatever will kind of come up, and then you can crack on with that task. So that seems like a really useful thing to have. The next one, again, it's kind of like interesting. I can't see myself using this, but I can see that it has real utility. It's called Fit Text to Container, and it literally does what it says on the tin. You just type a word or a sentence in, and it will, whatever screen you're on, it will shrink the text to maximize the text size so that it fills that available spot. I guess it's kind of good for opinionated design if you want to adjust something so that it looks that way, but I don't see myself using that particularly much. But again, out to you three if you want to comment.
I think it could be a really cool design function.
Yeah.
I'm interested to play with it and see how it looks, yeah.
I wonder if it ever overlaps, though. Like, there's this, like, extremely long word in Welsh, which is this name of this town, and it's just, like, I don't know, like 300 characters or something like that. I wonder what it'd do. I wonder if it ever does text wrap.
So the question is, does it also shrink?
Yeah.
Fit in?
So in theory,
which case,
yes.
It would be so tiny, all you'd see is these little dots.
Yeah, they're just like a series of dots.
There's ants crawling on my screen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But we'll return to some more things in a minute once we've exhausted this article. But that's the sort of features that you can use in the front end. In the back end. And then we're on to some slightly more technical things. And again, we'll be coming backwards and forwards from this AI whole topic thing. For now, I'm just going to say them by name and kind of move on. So the first one is the accessibility API. We'll talk about that more in a minute. That has dropped.
The abilities.
Yeah, sorry, I apologize. I'm looking at the word accessibility at the bottom of the screen. Yeah.
Abilities
the abilities API, we'll come to that later when we talk more about AI.
Let me interrupt for just a second.
Yeah.
To say that Tammy said that the previous one is a very requested feature for design.
So yeah, there you go.
The one with the text one, yeah. So
yeah,
it's not curious if you are a designer. It is only curious if that's not something that you focus on.
Yeah, yeah, quite right. Thank you. Yeah, and Tammy, thanks for mentioning that. Tammy, big part of the 6.9 release. It was curious. We'll get onto it in a minute. The state of the word, the more or less the only bit that I saw was Tammy's face. There was a bit of Mary Hubbard on repeat, but Tammy was also a bit that just kept repeating to me. Oh. So that was kind of interesting. Okay, back to the article. So yeah, abilities API, and then we probably won't return to this, so I'll mention it in full now. Accessibility improvements. More than 30 accessibility fixes sharpen the WordPress core experience. Updates improve screen reader announcements. Hide unnecessary CSS-generated content from assistive tech, fix cursor placement issues, and make sure typing focus stays put even when users click an auto-complete suggestion. So that's the accessibility.
I'm always happy to see accessibility improving across, especially since so many people don't focus on it for their own sites. And it would be so helpful if they did. But the more we can build in and bake in, I think is so much better for the whole internet.
I know that in the comments, we've got Anne, who is big into the accessibility side of things. So maybe if you want to drop a comment about the most exciting accessibility piece in there, that would be interesting. And then
that's on the Anna performance. Anna Mika-Bovelet, for people who are wondering.
Yes, sorry. Apologies. Thank you. Then I'll just read this out as well. Performance enhancements. Who doesn't love this? Although in most cases, I think it just goes completely unnoticed because we don't actually have much going on. It just kind of, WordPress just gets faster, but there's a lot of work going on in the background. 6.9 boasts an improved largest contentful paint through on-demand block styles for classic themes, minifying block theme styles and increasing the limit for inline styles, which is removing blockages to page rendering and clearing the rendering path by deprioritizing non-critical scripts. Also, optimized database queries, refined caching, improving spawning of WP cron, and a new template enhancement outer output buffer that opens the door for more future optimizations. Almost none of that did I understand, but I've read it out loud, and so so there you go.
I don't understand it, but I read it out loud for you.
Yeah, that's right. So you heard it here first. I can only be thankful. Do you know what, though? It's the same on the accessibility side, right? I read these things and they're beautiful, and I get some of them because they're a little bit more understandable. But I'm just so appreciative that some cohort of people make it their raison d'etre to just do that stuff when it gets sort of taken care of on the steady cadence. Do I feel guilt when I hear, look in Slack and I see all the accessibility bug scrubs going on and things like that? Yeah, a bit. Because, you can't put yourself everywhere all at once, but I'm really glad.
And you can just summarize this as, this means faster WordPress.
Yeah, lovely. That's right. Yeah, great. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with that. I should have just said that, shouldn't I, Devinda? That would have been loads better.
TLDR, anyway, faster.
Faster, yeah. And this bit I always miss, and somebody always picks me up on it in the comments. We need to mention the release squad, don't we? That's important. So the release squad, there they are on the screen. So we had Matt. So these are the people, if you like, who get the named credit at the top. And then we'll see the great big list of contributors in a moment. So release lead was Matt Mullenweg. Coordination was Akshaya Rain and Amy Kamala. Tech leads were David Baumwald, Ella Van Derp. I don't know how to pronounce all these names. I'm sorry. Hector Prieto. Design lead was Francisco Vera. Triage leads, Aki Hamono and Ryan Welcher. And then the test leads were Jonathan Bossinger and Krupa Nanda. And then I'm not even going to try to read out this great long list, but look at it. Loads and loads and loads and loads of contributors. Over 900 people made this project possible, delivering 340 enhancement and fixes And let's just scroll through it and get some idea of what makes a WordPress near you tick. So every time you click update, these human beings did stuff. Every one of them, a human, just like you, doing stuff to make the project better. How cool is that? There we go.
Amazing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that, and that, isn't that the bit? That's the glue. That's the whole, in fact, more or less, that's the whole thing, right? That list of names right there kind of sums up why we do it, why we're into it and all of that. It's just this brilliant community going on in the background. So thank you to all of you. Each one of you gets a mention, but not out loud, I'm afraid. So there we go. That was the first piece. Anything about that last little bit, my going on about the community there?
I'm just so grateful for all the people that
Indeed.
Contribute.
Yeah. Right, what have we got? I'm just looking through the comments. We've got a few, fair few comments about Star Wars. I feel like I've opened up a can of worms there. I'm going to pass by the Star Wars.
It's mostly Marcus, so.
Okay, good. He, if it was, okay, I'll do one just because it's funny. WordPress 7.0, Bantha. I'm down for it, Marcus. If you can make that happen, I'll vote for that. Yeah, Star Wars creatures, that's good. Okay, one more. 7.1, Minot. Okay. Any other comments that have come through that are worth mentioning?
As long as it's not 7.2 Jar Jar, I'm good with it.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Okay, here's Anne then. We just mentioned Anne Bovlet, the accessibility enhancements. There are many fixes that I'm happy about, both in the editor and the front end. Fixes in the navigation block and an accessibility ready accordion. Woohoo! Great, thank you. I would ask, if you were having an interview with me at this point, I'd ask what those fixes were, but hopefully somebody can, maybe you can link to an article or something. There we go. Right, moving on. We alluded to this earlier. State of the Word happened. Technically, if you were not in the room, what word shall we use to describe the live streaming?
If you were not in the room, you were definitely in the dark.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't dark, it was in the loop.
It was. Yeah. It really was. I had Mary Hubbard.
I was running an online viewing party of State of the Word with about 20 people in a Zoom room, and of course assuming it was my internet that was glitching. And then other people were saying, no, I'm having the same problem. And I would keep refreshing, and finally we said, all right, guys, you'll have to watch this on your own. It's not going to happen.
So just like WordPress got blamed in UK, here Michelle is the blame person, you know.
Devinda, I've been suspecting as much. I thought it was Michelle. It had Michelle's stamp all over.
I can't program, but I can hack. I don't understand that.
She got her award, and now she's showing her true colors.
Yeah, that's right. You can't program, but you can break things. How about that? We'll go with that.
Apparently.
Yeah. So if you joined State of the Word, the idea was that there was, and honestly, I think for this particular one, there'd been quite a lot of PR around State of the Word, like I'd never seen before. Like there was this whole, like, 4 days to go. They were putting things out on Twitter and things, and 3 days to go. And then it came to the time, and I, you know, clicked on the appropriate link. And it was broadcast to several platforms, so you could watch it on X or you could watch it on YouTube and no doubt other places as well. But it quickly became obvious that the tech was entirely broken. You could see that it was there. There were cameras in the room, but I got this like 15-second or something cycle of Mary Hubbard just repeating the same words. And then I got a bit of Tammy sitting in the audience right at the front, and then it was back to Mary Hubbard again. And so my first thought was, oh, this is bad, you know, this is bad optics. It doesn't look good for WordPress, and what have you. And it's, and then I thought, this is really bad for those people who've actually booked a space and have kind of got together in like a cafe or something like that, you know, and are just sort of hanging out. And then like the more sanguine part of me got hold and gave myself a bit of a talking to, and I thought, it doesn't matter. You know, what's fine? Who cares? And so I hope that's what everybody else got out of it as well. You know, the tech fails all the time, right? And there's not much you can do about it. And even in the after reporting, I've noticed that there's no sort of, like, you know, nobody's kind of prostrating themselves and apologizing and, you know, gnashing of clothes and rending of teeth or any of that. they're just sort of, it didn't work. You know, let's move on and talk about the more important things, which was the content of it. And I think that's kind of where I've landed as well. Although it was a bit of a frustration at the time. So what? You know, we move on. But Michelle, I hope for your sake, it wasn't too awkward having put all those people in a Zoom room or anything like that.
I mean, yeah. I didn't spend any money to do it. So yeah. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
but
I guess.
It was slightly embarrassing, but once I realized it wasn't me, what could you do? We just had a little networking time and went about our day.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so it happened. State of the Word happened. And one of the curious things, I didn't see it, obviously, but it looks like from this, let me see if I can find the picture. Yeah, I'm showing you a picture of eight people standing around something, like obviously leaning in. I'm guessing it's a big red button or something like that. And it would appear, I don't know how real this was. Like, there was a button and all the people on stage at that moment leaned in and pushed the button. And the idea being that WordPress 6.9 released at that point. What I'm guessing actually happened is that somebody at the back of the room was logged into some part of WordPress.org and clicked a button rather than that. I mean, if that button did do the thing, great. But I somehow doubt it. But it's great. What a lot of fun that was. And the idea, first time ever, the release came out at the same time as this sort of live event. And
Tammy said it was a button, but it was not red.
Oh, okay. Tammy, honestly, do you think the button actually did it? In other words, if somebody had run onto the stage like 10 minutes before and just struck the button, do you think WordPress 6.9 would have come out like 10 minutes early? And would the office of the OBS or whatever it is in the UK resign as a result? So
I think somebody would have pushed the button because buttons are made to be pressed. And if anybody saw it, they would have pushed it.
Yeah,
we're a community of nerds. We push buttons. That's what we do.
Yeah. Do you remember back in the day, that was a real way to get people to do stuff online, wouldn't it? You'd make a big red button and say, do not push this button. Everybody would irresistibly click the button. Tammy says, do not break the illusion. Okay, sorry, Tammy. For anybody here who still thinks that Santa, I mean...
hey, my kids are watching.
I'm going to stop there. Okay, so anyway, that happened, but there was a lot more in it that wasn't mentioned previously. So we're back to sort of WordPress content again here. And I thought this was kind of interesting. So during the keynote, a few people came onto the stage and Matt Mullenweg spent a fair bit of time talking about WordPress as a project during the last year, which has obviously, I imagine for him, been a very curious year. I imagine it's been a year of ups and downs for him on so many levels. But he talked about what's coming in WordPress in the near future, concentrating on a lot of the AI stuff, talked about Telex. I think a year ago, probably nobody had any idea that Telex was coming around. Tammy got a mention, along with Nick Hamsey, for their use of Telex and the curious things that they've been doing. Talked about the AI team and got them on stage to talk about various different pieces. Had Mary Hubbard on stage as well, talking about the project as well. And we'll get into the AI stuff. This is a fascinating bit. I love this bit. This is the education side of WordPress. Easy to forget, right? I think basically I view WordPress as a publishing platform, but I forget the profound effect often that it has in different sectors and different parts of the world. And thankfully, Mary Hubbard hasn't. And I'll quote, in 2025, there were 81 WordCamps in 39 countries organized by more than 5,200 volunteers attended by over 100,000 people. And here's the education bit. The Learn WordPress platform served, this is eye-watering. Like, just take this in. Like, really think about it for a minute. 1.5 million users. Like, what? That's just an indescribably large number of people. And the engagement jumped 32% after WordCamp US. I think it was touted a little bit at that point. There was a real mention of WordPress Campus Connect, which... kind of got its debut in Ajmer in India. And the idea of that program is to connect kind of real world people with free training materials and free sessions. It's got a bit bigger. It's spread out since then. And is being used in that platform is, sorry, that Campus Connect idea is being used in different parts of the world as well. WordPress credits was also given a mention. This is the idea that if you're at a bricks and mortar university, you can offset some of your scholarly program. You can say, I'm going to do WordPress stuff. And if you're at the University of Pisa, that's possible. And if you're at the university, well, it's called the Universidad Fidelitas, I'm sorry if I've got that wrong, in Costa Rica, you can also do the same thing.
I love listening to you pronounce words from other languages.
I know. It's bad. Let's just say that. But you can offset actual real word credits. So that's a whole other thing as well. And do you know what? Those are the bits that
it is an amazing program.
Keep me interested. Don't you think that's just amazing? The 1.5 million.
It's fascinating. I love it.
Yeah. 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 Really.
And you know, it's a great way to introduce WordPress to the younger generation because we already have a lot of not so young people in the WordPress space. So getting new people is the key thing.
I think he's looking at the three of us.
What are you saying here? What are you saying here?
I have no words. Davinder, I could be wrong about this, but it feels like you're like the part of the world where you are. You're based in India. Obviously, I kind of obsess about WordPress and talk to a lot of people. It does feel like it's more hot. Let's go with that definition in your neck of the woods than it is here. Like events everywhere. There seems to be a lot of youth in it. I'm kind of fascinated to see how WordCamp Asia goes in Mumbai, whether that's going to be the first like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 attendee WordCamp.
Oh, yes. It's going to be the biggest one, I guess, at least for flagship WordCamps because I see, because again, you know, a lot of people want to attend flagship WordCamps, but there's the factor of money and, you know, feasibility of, you know, taking leave from job. There's a lot of things. But when it's happening in your own country, then you can travel locally and, you know, attend it and get the feel of it. Because a flagship WordCamp has an altogether different vibe compared to a local WordCamp of like 200 or 300 people. And yes, there is more vibe because here, youngsters are actually interested in, you know, technology and all that, and WordPress is one of the big foundation, like, because normally if you talk to someone, hey, do you want to build a website, and they say, oh, WordPress website or a Wix, they already know what Wix is, what Squarespace is, what WordPress is. So it's not like you're going to try to explain what the difference. So obviously you got to explain the difference between WordPress.org and WordPress.com, like, you know, go step by step, but they are already familiar with these things. They know what plugins is, what themes are. So, and plus we have a lot of local WordCamps. So that is like the first, you know, step of introducing people to WordPress. So plus they see people making money, right? And money is a big motivator. Let me tell you.
Yeah. It feels like obviously I'm not in India, so I can't really make the comparison directly, but it feels like it was here like 12 years ago or something, you know, that kind of level of excitement over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, now you can even compare now the plugins ecosystem. Like right. If when I started in WordPress space, like if you say first 5 or 10 years in WordPress space, most of the plugin companies came from UK, US, or maybe Australia, these countries. But now if you see the dominance, it's like India, Bangladesh, and you know, like yeah. Bangladesh has come out of nowhere, right? And they are making really good products, right? So, you know, it affects, like, if someone's living next to me is making amazing product, I will also get that vibe, you know, why can't I do that?
So really related right. to that, going back to Matt's speech at State of the Word, here's some interesting data around that. And some of it's really curious. So for example, I kind of had this intuition based upon nothing that WordPress had kind of flatlined a little bit. And it would appear that that is in fact the case. 43% of the web, I think we were probably talking about the same number this time last year. There was a bit of me which was also kind of fearful that that would gone down, that might have gone down. I don't know why that would cause fear in me, but obviously nobody likes to see the thing that they're doing with their life going down. But steady away, 43% of the web. But here's an interesting point that Matt made that I hadn't really given any thought to. He was saying that imagine keeping it like that in an era where companies like Shopify have a massive marketing budget, you know, where they can advertise on television in the UK, they're advertising on the tube network, on bus, on the telly, all of that kind of stuff. WordPress doesn't do anything like that. So even just staying at 43% is kind of fairly remarkable. And then this is curious. So we're back into Asia, not India specifically. Japan, country that I haven't really given much time to on this show in the past. Japan, it says, remains a standout market. 59%, let's go with that, slightly under, but 59% of all Japanese websites are running on WordPress as their platform of choice. The CMS market share for WordPress is 83%, which is pretty phenomenal. And Japan is now the second most used language outside of English. Also, curiously, English, which I think until this year was always the language that was dominant in terms of like percentages, that's now flipped. It's now no longer the dominant one because 56% of WordPress installs are now using a non-English language. So I guess Japan might be, you know, Japanese might be a big part of that, and whatever variant of language you're using, if you're in India or Bangladesh or what have you. So that, I think, probably signals a shift, not just for Matt's thinking in terms of WordPress generally, but, you know, more specifically, I imagine there's going to be more of an effort to get into those communities, help those communities and all of that kind of stuff. The usual things about themes and plugins and what have you. And here's another eye-watering number if you didn't, you know, if you want another one. WordPress, during the last year, up until the date of the event, had been downloaded 79.5 million times.
It's boggling.
Isn't it just? But so it would appear that WordPress's demographics are definitely changing. You know, it feels like it's skewing much more towards Asia and that part of the world, which I think is obviously quite exciting if you're in that part of the world. Anybody want to add anything to those bits and pieces? I feel there was a lot to unpack there.
I think the flexibility WordPress gives, it's still going to grow. Yes, there was a chatter that the, you know, like you said, like the growth of the WordPress has stalled or paused or plateaued. But I think the flexibility part, the freedom part will always make WordPress grow. And plus the community this year, yes, prior to this year, there was a little bit of negativity in the community. We all know why. But this year, things have been positive and people are doing positive things.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that once we got back to just keeping our eyes forward and focusing on what was important, the power of what WordPress offers is still unprecedented and unmatchable. So we just need to keep our eyes looking at what's important and stick with that.
Indeed. There will be more bits and pieces linked to all of these different things in the show notes. But I think one of the areas, like if you ignore the geography, whether it's growing in, you know, India or the UK or Australia or wherever it may be, I think undeniably one of the areas of growth in terms of the tech is this bit. So this is James LePage's website. By the way, James, what the heck? James snagged a one-letter domain name. He's got the domain J, J.CV. So the entire domain is three letters. That's well done. James LePage is the head, I think head, I want to say head. I don't know if he's like the co-lead or, but I think head of the AI endeavors over at Automattic. He was one of the people on stage. If you're looking at the screen, you'll be able to see there's a photo of him on stage with Matt and Mary and Felix Arntz and is that Jeffrey Paul, I think, as well. And they were on stage talking about AI and, you know, AI and I, sorry, Tammy, we have this sort of strange kind of relationship, but I am definitely in the minority. Everybody seems to be absolutely bowled over by AI and all the different things it can do. And James has produced an article where he sort of lays out what they're doing at Automattic. And one of the things which I think is curious that comes out of this article, he really does drill this down. He sort of makes the point and then amplifies it. He said, what would usually be a year's worth of development takes place in a month now. So what the heck? How do you keep up with that? So he gives an example that, you know, they'd done the prep work for the presentation at State of the Word, and then the day before that presentation, DeepSeek dropped this new AI, which was like equivalent to ChatGPT-5, and all of a sudden you've got to go back to the drawing board and kind of realign all the different bits and pieces or what have you. Anyway, the AI endeavors in WordPress can be thought of in four stages: the Abilities API, the WP AI client, the MCP adapter, and the AI experiments plugin. And it would appear that WordPress, rather than try to be an AI client, you know, rather than have an account with WordPress.com where you go and get your AI, the idea is that WordPress is going to build solutions at this other abstracted layer so that you can do all the things in WordPress by binding it to some other AI. And in that way, they kind of feel that they're going to future-proof themselves, because the AI itself, the engine that's driving the actual interactions going backwards and forwards, is not going to be a WordPress thing. It's going to be something else. So fascinating. Scary and interesting at the same time. I don't know what your thoughts are on AI, but I'm going to let you have some if you wish.
Yeah, it's good. They're working on the foundation part of it. The usable features are slowly creeping in. Like if you see SEO plugins, you know, generate title, meta text, and they have actually included this feature in that AI experiments plugin.
Yep.
To generate the title and all that. But other third-party plugins are already doing that by connecting to, you know, or AI, other AI models and all that. So AI is going to be big, but not now. But the good part is they are doing a kind of a head start in building the foundation part of it so that others can come in and use that foundation to build something useful.
Yeah, that's right. James is at great pains to sort of say that this is like a foundational layer. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this goes. Tammy, I know you want to hit me over the head at this point, but we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. But certainly a lot of work being done.
Yeah, I my concern, I think, is with AI in general. This is just is that we try to do too much too fast. And when that happens, then, you know, how, you know, what happens if somebody puts something out in WordPress that breaks everything because, you know, and you have to go back and figure it out because there's like 5 million new things to WordPress as opposed to 2 or 3 new things to WordPress. And so I think that as with everything with technology, is I always have concerns about our discipline more than I actually have about the technology itself.
I'm with you. Tammy, helpfully though, said she's not going to hit me over the head with a bat because she's too jet lagged. That's good.
You remain jet lagged. Next week, watch out.
Yeah. Do you know what though? The bit that kind of I wonder is with the AI stuff creeping into the editor. So it can do your meta tags and it can do your descriptions. And like Devinder said, you know, it can do your SEO stuff. Where does all the human time come to read all of this stuff? I guess that's the bit that sort of concerns me a little bit, is that in an effort to produce more and more content, I just don't know who the audience is for more and more of this content.
And, you know, it's not just about content. The other day I was reading, following a conversation where someone said, like, we don't need to buy plugins anymore. I can just use AI to spin up a plugin,
right,
and I'm done with it. And I thought, like, we don't buy a plugin for the code. We buy it for support and updates. How is your AI-generated plugin going to update for a security issue, right?
Yeah.
So this is, like, you know, it's not Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, that's what I've heard. I've heard people say, yeah, it's great to spin up a plugin, but what happens next week when you have to update it or anything like that? If you know how to vibe code, but you don't know how to do anything beyond that, you still need to have somebody that's able to go in and either fix things or change things or upgrade things. And I think that that's where AI right now falls short. I think it will eventually get there where there may be no human interaction.
Yeah,
who knows?
I just sort of feel like I'm a bit discombobulated by it all, because it's all coming so thick and so fast, and the horizon is so broad, and it was a long way away, and now it's suddenly rushing towards us, and there's so many different things that it can do. And I don't really know that we've kind of figured out where we sit inside of that relationship to it yet. And maybe, you know, give it another year, another 2 years. We'll have figured out, okay, it's useful for that, but it's not useful for that. And it, you know, we thought it'd be fun to do that kind of thing. And it turns out nobody wants to read that kind of thing. So, okay. But Tammy makes the point that, you know, the way that WordPress is approaching it is that they're doing tools inside of Core. So that you can, yeah, well, I'll read what she says rather than try and interpret it. Tammy says, which is why we're doing tools approach in Core. There is the discipline. Yeah, okay, thank you, Tammy. I appreciate it. Conversation is not going to end. I'm sure we'll figure it out. But we do have, it is a big part of WordPress's future in the year 2026. There is a lot coming. I would highly recommend that you read James LePage's article. I'll put it into the show notes so that you can have a little look. There's a few more bits and pieces. I'll just mention these briefly. These are a few things which have dropped in WordPress 6.9 that you may not have noticed, but there's a few articles which help us to do that. So this is Aki. This is nice. It's like a tiny little thing, but it's a big thing at the same time. You can now hide and show blocks on the front end. There's a little video here. I won't play it, but essentially there's a menu item now. If you right click on a block or use the little, you know, the little panel above the block when you interact with it, you can hide a block and it will just disappear off the front end. Obviously, it's still visible in the inserter or the panel on the left-hand side, so you can still see that it's there. But, you know, I don't know, you may want to just take a paragraph away or something like that briefly, or an image or something like that. You can now do that. That's built in to WordPress 6.9. There's a couple of other things as well. What did we mention? Yeah, there's the hide show blocks. We just talked about that. This is lovely. Like this, I love. This is visual drag and drop. I'm such a page builder lover. I think it goes to my core. So this is the ability to pick stuff up on the canvas of the Gutenberg editor, if you like. Instead of using little arrows to move things around, like a paragraph up and a paragraph down, you now just grab the paragraph with the mouse, just sort of move it where you want it to go and let go, and there it now lives. I can't believe that wasn't a thing, actually. I've never missed it. Now it's there. I think I'll be using it all the time. I wonder how many times I'll get things wrong and publish an article where the paragraphs are all in the wrong place because I've accidentally picked something up and dropped it. I do that with blocks quite a lot. What else have we got? UI workflows, the accordion block we mentioned before. You've got the ability, the term query and companion blocks, time to read block, everybody's favorite, the maths block. That's going to be used by everybody all the time.
Love your sarcasm.
Yeah.
When will we ever use math in real life?
Does it satisfy the 80-20 rule in WordPress, though? That's what I want to know.
You know, the funny thing is, like, out of all the features listed here, I will be using, and the most excited thing for me is the hide and display block.
Yeah.
I know some people call it like it's a dumb feature, but you know what? Great. A lot of people use this feature.
I saw that and I fell in love with it immediately. Same thing. Just like,
well, it's like that kind of like in the past, if you really wanted to make major amendments to an article, you had to publish it in, you have to unpublish it or put it back into draft or something like that. Whereas now,
we get it and you know.
Yeah, you could just rewrite entire sections of it, just hide, and then just, you know, come back to it. It's still published. You're not going to lose the SEO juice. I think actually, Devinda, it's going to become really powerful. And I get what you mean. When we look at these things, it's easy to sort of make fun and sort of say, oh, the maths block, somebody's going to love that.
Normal users, you know, they want to use simple features. They don't know what abilities API is, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, there it is.
The hide block, though, for people who have ADHD like me, I'll be like, I swear I put it in there. Why isn't it showing up?
Yeah. So in the...
Why is the site using up so many resources? I don't see anything. It's all those giant photos you've hidden.
Let me see if I can see it. I don't think it shows on this particular UI, but I think you get like, you know, that icon. There it is. You know, the icon that's taken over. Yeah. It's like the little eye icon. You either get a little closed eye or an open eye icon. So in that way, you can tell.
You only see it if you pop up in that left menu.
You are right about that. Yeah.
All right, Michelle, you need to put a post-it note. Check for the hidden block and just pick it on your computer.
Post-it notes all over my monitor.
That's the way.
Actually, I don't know what the UX is going to be for that. So I'm hovering my mouse over the inserter. I don't know if the little eye icon, if the paragraph will, I'm presuming it will stay in this panel here, but have the icon next to it. But it might be quite nice. A bit like when you edit, I don't know, a template part or something like that. It's in a different color. Might be quite nice to have a different colored, you know, the paragraph. Instead of it being in black text, it suddenly goes to red or something
it's
like
kind
that.
Kind of Photoshop-like. Photoshop does the same thing. You can just click the eye on, but it doesn't change the color. I like that idea for sure.
Yeah, you see, that is my good idea for 2025.
That's your good idea right there. You got it.
Finally. I've only got just 10 days wire. Or so left. That's my good idea.
I joke about it, but I think it's a great feature.
Yeah, indeed. Then we got a few curious things like the time to read blog. You know, you can imagine that would be kind of useful if you're doing blog articles. You've got the capacity now if you drop in one of these blocks, which is the comment count and comment links block. I know that, you know, I imagine it's quite hard these days, what with Facebook and Twitter and everything, to get comments. But I know that some properties still get lots of that. You can show the number of comments, you know, like we've got 15 comments over here or something like that. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff, gallery aspect ratios, yada, 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 lots and lots and lots of stuff. So, okay, I think we
should bring back a site counter like we had back in the 90s.
Oh,
so like for retro blogs, it could be like how many times the sites would be.
They
like.
Were the day.
I'd like to get rid of the time to read anything because I either feel inadequate or like I'm competing with somebody.
What you should get, write a Chrome extension which identifies if there's a time to read thing on any website, and then it multiplies it by 15 or something like
there
that.
There you go.
Time to read 8,000 minutes. It only took me a week.
I can do that.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, so that's good. Right, okay, I think that's WordPress 8.9 done. Right, very quickly then, we don't have much time left. I saw this piece. I think this came in Devinder's newsletter. I think I cribbed this from his newsletter this morning. It's over on LinkedIn, and it was AD Spiak. AD is a developer who has a plugin called TranslatePress, which is a bit like a kind of page builder for doing your translations. He's been looking carefully at Black Friday deal promotions in the WordPress space, and he's drawn a couple of conclusions from them. I don't know how obsessed you got about this, but obviously if you're a developer like he is and your livelihood is wrapped around Black Friday and things like that, then it's important to know what everybody else is doing. Drawn a couple of conclusions. The first one is he's noticed a strong push to increase the average order value and lifetime value, and he's saying that more companies are structuring their Black Friday deals to nudge customers into higher tiers. I think if we cast our mind back just a few years ago, the Black Friday thing was all about getting new users to sign up, not to push existing users onto the next higher tier. So that's the curious observation. The second observation that you noticed was this thing, which I confess I've seen this a lot this year, higher renewal prices. So the idea that you deeply discount this one-year package and then you offer it at, you know, some sort of usual rate next year. So you might offer, I don't know, 70, 80% in some cases I saw this year. And then you just return them to the normal pricing. So, you know, the hope is that they, I don't know, just either make use of it or, dare I say it, forget to cancel or something like that. I'm guessing, Devinder, if you included it in your newsletter, you must have thought this was interesting.
Yeah, because these trends are on point. The other thing that probably he missed is like companies that have multiple products, they are actually promoting their bundles so that people buy a whole bouquet of their plugins. They get more revenue from one transaction because if you buy 10 plugins in a bundle, you're not going to use all those 10 plugins. So you're not expecting 10x support requests, right?
Yeah.
So that's there. And this renewal thing, like higher renewal and, you know, 50% discount on first year, this has been there for a few years now. And I think Automotive Products have championed this and now everyone is following it. And it does make sense because it basically gives the user a chance to try the product at a very discounted, you know, price. And obviously, if it's working, the person will renew it at a so-called higher rate.
Yeah, I saw Katie Keith put a post out on X where she was sort of, did you see that one where she was saying, she's very candid, Katie, isn't she?
Yeah,
she was saying,
I saw that one too.
She was saying that she does this whole Awesome Motive dance where like, right, before Black Friday, she goes through and cancels all the automotive products and then signs up again for Black Friday. because she knows she's going to get this one. I don't know how that works, you know, whether she has to supply a new email address or something. And there was, you know, broad appreciation, I think, for that. But also some people are, why don't you just pay them, you know, what it is. But it was kind of interesting that people do that dance in the expectation that, you know, that's what's happening every Black Friday. I can pick up everything cheap.
Yeah, once they figure out how to attach a license to a specific domain, this dance is going to stop.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you've just provided the answer. And the final thing which AD figured out, which is very much, you know, is in his own wheelhouse, is that there were no, almost nobody in the translation press space was doing a Black Friday deal. So I'm guessing he's thinking about things like Weglot and companies like that. Apparently they en masse had all opted out of doing Black Friday deals. I don't know how long the Black Friday thing will last, but it seems super popular everywhere. Did you do one at Main WP?
We did. We're on your page. And it's 25% off. The way that we do it is that's lifetime. So every single year at renewal, you buy the annual and you get $50 off.
Okay.
And next year you would get $50 off, and the year after that you'd get $50 off. And nice. And the way that we look at it is, A, we don't need people doing the dance. B, the longer people use our product, the less they're going to need support. And so it ends up being a longer lifetime value to us, actually, we've discovered, by just renewing at the Black Friday price. The thing that I noticed, which I found interesting this year, is I remember when Black Friday was Friday through Monday.
Oh.
And now it starts on November 1st. I'm surprised it doesn't start on July 5th.
No, January the 1st will be the next
iteration. And it, you know, what I found interesting is when we have a roundup similar to yours, Nathan, and I think we got over 225 offers or something. And what I found interesting was that this year, people were willing to announce what their Black Friday special was ahead of time, far ahead of when it actually went active. Whereas last year, anyone, if they said that their special started on, say, November 24th, they wouldn't want it actually listed until November 24th.
Yeah.
This year, they were willing to list it like way ahead of time so people would know what was coming. And I found that to be kind of an interesting trend.
Well, don't you think that's curious that, like, so when you submit it to my page, I make it really clear on the intake form that the minute I publish it, or rather the minute that you send it to me, I'm going to put it on the website. So in some cases, I'm getting those in late September. So their decreased pricing is fully available for 2 months. That is to say, people know that it's going to be decreased in 2 months. And I find the psychology of it so curious. Like, what? It'd be a bit like going into a clothes store and saying, we've got a sale in 6 weeks, but we've still got things at full price now if you want them. And I guess it just comes down to sort of like, well, desperation is not really the right word, but something akin to that. That they know that there's just going to be this melee for a period of time. Everybody's only got a certain amount of money in their wallet. So they're trying to position themselves so that, okay, we've got 80% off over here and you know about it long in advance, right? You're going to earmark your $50 for our thing, not their thing. But boy, it gets messy. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, I just had a project, in fact, that I just started 2 months ago. I knew that a couple of the plugins that I was going to need were going to have Black Fridays, but I needed the plugin then because I needed to get on the project.
And
of course, these are all smaller people anyway, and I want to support them. So it doesn't bother me that much.
Good. Know? Well, I'm pleased to hear about it. So,
I even ran a Black Friday special on my small little marketing boutique, and I had two people make purchases who knew running a special and opted not to use the discount code so that I would get the full value of their post.
Oh,
that's awesome.
No,
that's really awesome.
That's awesome. Nice. There's an interesting idea. The idea of opting out of the Black Friday just because you want to do the full Monty. Yeah, that's curious. Yeah.
And I did get two submissions which had in capital letters, do not publish this till the date it starts. And I was like, really?
It's actually a question on our form. And so when I go through and approve the listing, if they say that they don't want to listen until such and such a date, then I just set the published date as that date. Yeah, yeah. And it's still automated to still a degree. There, I mean, I have to approve everything anyway.
Yep. Who is this? Mark in the UK. Hello, Mark. Mark Wilkinson. He says he really doesn't get Black Friday deals. Mark's got a few plugins out there. So I'm guessing, Mark, that you don't participate in that. There wouldn't be a dance, he said, if you value your product and always sell it at that price. Yeah, that's the other curious thing, isn't it, I suppose, is that whole kind of weird thing from the end use. But we're so used to it everywhere, aren't we? It's just everybody gets on board and is dealing cheaper deals. Mark says, this is Marcus Burnett. I'd share my deal a month ahead on your list, but I wouldn't advertise that on my own site until the deal starts. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so you advertise it on these third-party places, these sort of aggregated places, but not on your own website.
Actually, along those lines, I noticed, I think Gravity Forms was one of the ones that said, our Black Friday special starts, and they had a countdown timer on when their Black Friday, like 3 days or 5 days or whatever ahead. So that was interesting, too. So they actually did advertise on their site that it was coming.
I wonder how many people shelled out for stuff that they didn't need this Black Friday. I kind of make it a bit of a point on Black Friday to try to stay away from all that chaos because I find it very easy to spend money that I shouldn't.
I bought this little plugin called Podcaster Plus.
Oh, what the heck?
Nathan is rich. I got this lifetime deal, so I think it was worth it.
Yeah. Hopefully, Michelle. It's we can mention that another time. It's not about that here right now. What does Patricia say? Patricia says, so she's responding to Mark, who, you know, is obviously not in favor of those deals. I like deals as a buyer, but I don't understand from a seller point of view, like not valuing your customers from other months. Interesting. Anyway, there was the piece by AD. It's on LinkedIn. Again, links in the show notes. Right, very quickly, because time is running short, I'm going to miss that. I'm also going to miss that. I mentioned it already. Just a couple of things which came into my world this week. In many cases, just new plugins that I thought you might like to check out. I've not heard of them before. If you have, apologies. They may not be brand new. So this is the first one. It's called Opinion Camp. And it's going to be a free poll plugin, or at least they've got a free option. So if you want to do polls on your WordPress website, this is an option. Honestly, I'm going to give each one that amount of time. We could have delved into them, but I've run out of time. So here we go. The next one is eBook Crafter, which enables you to turn a WordPress post into like an eBook, basically. You click a button and it becomes an eBook. Start a free trial. So I'm guessing they've got a pro version as well. Don't know whether it's
I purchased this.
Yeah. You like it?
Prior to, still working out some of the, you know, the glitches in it. I don't want to say glitches, but he's making it better. He's absolutely making it better as he goes with a lot of feedback. So I was an early purchaser. He gave it to me for free. I went back and purchased it to support him. But also it's a great idea. And because I have taken a blog and turned it into a book, I wanted to be able to experiment with it.
Yeah. At the moment, it's touting PDFs, but I don't know if that's going to be more formats in the future, like, you know, Kindle compatible things, stuff like that. Okay, the next one, loving this one. This is so great. This is called Neurogenesis Styler. And what it's doing is injecting into core blocks more style CSS options. Nothing more. That's it. So you know how there's loads of things that you wish to do that you have to open up a text editor or an IDE or, you know, have a plugin which will enable you to have CSS somewhere on your site. This will do that for core block. So it adds options for typography, background, border radius, spacing, visual effects, block sizing, and more. And there's a lovely picture down here which kind of sums up the entire plugin, you know, just kind of what you'd expect. Really, I love this sort of stuff. Makes WordPress core seem so cool when third-party people come along and do stuff like that. This one, I kind of got caught out here. I just assumed that the Fluent people, you know, WP Manage Ninja were behind this. And I don't think, Devinda, that's not true, right? This is not a Fluent product?
No, this is a third-party product. I think it's by Spencer Forman.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, Spencer Forman. Thank you. And it's if you've got the Fluent Suite, so, you know, they're taking over the world, aren't they? They're doing everything so well. If you've got their one of their suites like Fluent Forms, Fluent CRM, Fluent Cart, and all the other ones, you might want to connect it to some kind of AI, and Fluent MCP is a third-party solution which will help you to do that. Links in the show notes. These are plugins which used to cost money but have now been made free. WP Roadmap, so, you know, like Kanban boards for roadmaps for products, that kind of thing. You get the idea. I'm sure you've seen things like that before. Mm-hmm. And by the same developer, YouTube for WordPress, which enables you to put on your website, you know, YouTube videos and playlists and all the kind of stuff that you might see on the actual YouTube website. You can do that inside of WordPress. They used to be paid and now they're free. I don't know if the developer has found other things to do or if it's going to be maintained, but anyway, there we go. Penultimate one is this one. It's over on GitHub. It's a virtual media folder plugin, and this, I'm just going to read it out from the about section here. Virtual media folders brings virtual folder organization to your WordPress media library. Organize your media files into hierarchical folders without actually moving anything on the disk. Your folders are virtual, so the URLs of your bits and pieces never change. I'm sure that there are third-party plugins that you can pay for that do this already. I know that there are, but this one, yeah, anyway, there it is. It's on GitHub, so you can check it out. And no, this is the penultimate one. If you attended last year, I know Anne did, the CloudFest hackathon is coming back in the year 2026. It's going to be on March the 20th through the 22nd. You have to apply to be in the room, and so hit this button here, links in the show notes, but the URL is hackathon.cloudfest.com. I've got an episode on the WP Builds podcast coming out with Anne in the near future where we talk a little bit about last year's event, so maybe go and check that website out. And the last one I'm not going to reveal until the very last moment. I'm just going to ask Michelle what she's been up to with Mark Westgaard.
So Mark and I have decided this year, because, you know, he's one of my WordPress besties, that we exchange gifts for Christmas every year. And this year we get, because of just, you know, budget and things like that, we set a $25 limit and decided it had to make the other person laugh. Now, my gift to him has not arrived yet, so I can't tell you all publicly what it is because he hasn't seen it yet. But his gift to me arrived on Saturday. And I did post it on Twitter and all of the socials. So you're welcome to share that now on screen.
I love stuff like this. I have no idea. Like, what even is that? It's like a giant sock that just sort of flails around.
It is. It's one
around.
Of those dancing, like you see them often at like car dealerships. The note said not only was it for Christmas, but it was for the grand opening of my online business.
Can you imagine the day that, because I'm guessing that this product was probably a kid in a room somewhere with a vacuum cleaner who turned it on to blow instead of sock, somehow connected it to some sort of fabric, and this happened, and they immediately wet themselves laughing, put some eyes on it, and were like, we've got a product. I love stuff like this.
I don't believe that Twitter, and I didn't check, but I don't believe that Twitter lets you put alt text for video yet. So I did include an alt description, which just says the video is an inflatable tube man powered by a fan. It's right about 6 feet tall, and it's dancing in my living room for anybody.
You know what is what's great about that? What's great about that is it will always make you laugh. It's not just going to make you laugh once. It's going to make you laugh every time you see it.
My living room. So now when I know people are coming over and I want to really welcome them, I turn it on before they arrive and they walk in and I'm like, just for you.
Yes, for you. Michelle, next time you're on this show, it's got to be where those guitars are. I want it in the background. I want it the whole
it
time.
It is so loud.
Oh, is it?
It has such a fan, like the fan noise in it. I mean, I could mute myself and let you see it briefly, but it is very loud.
Yep. Okay, right, there we go.
Anyway, I wanted to share that.
That's good. Love it. Right, a couple of comments just before we go. Courtney says, I've long loved Pressbooks. I guess that's the plugin that we were looking at. This is something else for self-hosting ebook and EPUB creation. Uses multi-sites. That's a different solution. Thank you very much. And Anne, who I just mentioned, said that the Cloudfest Hackathon is so worthwhile applying for. Anne has won it 2 years in a row. So, you know, you've got to upend her. She's on for the trifecta this year. So can't stop Anne in her tracks. There we go. That's it. That is all we've got time for. Appreciate, firstly, I'm going to big shout out to Michelle and to Devinda, who stepped in at the 11th hour. However, Mark is not immune to thanks because he was up at like stupid o'clock.
It wasn't the 11th hour. It was the 5 a.m. hour.
That's the five, yeah, that's right. And I really appreciate that as well. So thank you to you three. Really appreciate it. But also thanks to anybody that dropped by and left a comment. That's lovely too. It keeps the show going and driving it forward. There's only one last humiliating thing for the three of us, four of us to do. There's my inability to count again. Is to give us the hands. Give us the slight handy wavy thing. And there we go. And I will publish that. And we will see you next week for another episode of This Week in WordPress featuring
who knows who.
Bye, everybody.
Take care. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.